Tonight, we will talk about creating a new conscience. Our special guest, Dolores Cannon, who worked Convoluted Universe, and we'll get right into it with her when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dolores Cannon is a regressive hypnotherapist and psychic researcher recording lost knowledge. She's been involved with hypnosis for more than 40 years and exclusively with past life therapy and regression work for a number of years as well. Now, over this time, she's developed her own very unique technique, which enabled her to gain the most efficient release of information from her clients. She's also been a UFO investigator, investigating crop circles in England, accumulating evidence from suspected abductees as well through hypnosis. Now, this is book number 4 in her series, Convoluted Universe. Welcome back, Dolores Cannon. It's been a while, Dolores. How are you?
I'm fine. They said they were having trouble with the line. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, because he said it sounded like a muddy a bucket of water.
Well, whatever Tommy did, he must have kicked the phone line. You sound pretty good now.
Okay, I told him it would be okay.
Are you still out there in the Ozarks?
Yeah, when I'm home. I'm still traveling. I'm traveling all over the world constantly, and you happen to catch me when I'm here. I was in Turkey just a few weeks ago, and I did a two-day seminar in Istanbul.
Good for you. Gosh, I remember, Dolores, when we were talking 15, 16 years ago about conversations with Nostradamus and in your earlier set. You were just rolling then, remember?
Oh, yeah, but I'm still rolling.
Yes, you are. Don't stop.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in China now, in Russia. Last year, I was 3 months in Europe, every week in a different country. And this year is packed just as full. I'm hardly home at all.
What keeps you going, Dolores?
Everybody keeps saying, where do you get your energy from? They'd like a little piece of it.
Well, you do. You sound as energetic now as you did, you know, almost 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, and I'm still going, and I'm still writing more books.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Now, tell me about this series, Convoluted Universe.
Okay. Well, you know, I've got 17 books out there, and I'm working on 3 more. And each one has got gradually more and more complicated because over the years, my work has been that way. The work I'm getting now, I could not have even understood it even 20 years ago. It has to happen gradually. You get a little piece, a little crumb, then you digest that, and then you get a little more and a little more. So they, you know, the ones that are giving the information through my clients, they give you a new theory and a new idea, so it just keeps growing. But it really began to pick up when I got into the UFO research and I wrote The Custodians. And as I was working with that, and, you know, I think I've talked about all of these subjects on your show.
Oh, you sure have.
But with that one, you know, the ETs began to speak through the clients I was working with. And they began to give me complicated metaphysical theories and concepts. And I knew I had to go into a different kind of a book. So that's when I started the Convoluted Universe series. I thought it was going to be one book, but it developed now into 4. And each book has gotten more and more complicated. At the end of book 3... I said, well, I guess you've told me everything there is to know now. There's nothing else left to discover. And they said, oh, no, you have just started. There's a lot more to find out. And then I wrote Convoluted 4, and the information is still pouring out of my clients.
Well, this was a fascinating one because it deals with just about everything we've talked about on this show, you know, the other side, abductees, UFOs, just about everything. So I'm looking forward to our very lengthy chat with you tonight.
Okay, because it just keeps getting more and more complicated. They keep throwing different ideas out at me.
Have you, by this time, come up with a single theory on just what the heck is going on?
In what area?
Well, just about, let's say in the visitation area. Something's happening.
I wrote 2 books. This was in 2011 when Convoluted 4 came out. That's the first year I wrote 2 books in 1 year. The other book was The 3 Waves of Volunteers and The New Earth. And this is where it was taking the whole UFO thing into a whole new area that hasn't been explored by the other investigators. They haven't got a clue what's really going on out there.
Well, in this one, number four deals primarily with extraterrestrial travel, doesn't it?
Well, some, but in the three waves, it goes into a whole lot more about the volunteers and where they've come from. And many of them are ETs that have come from other planets and other dimensions and, you know, entered into a physical bodies. And there's hundreds of thousands of these. Of course, the people themselves are not aware of this until they have the session and they find out.
Now, when you talk about other dimensions, Dolores, are you talking about other universes or strictly other dimensions within this universe?
Within this universe, because this is not the only universe there is. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of universes. It goes on and on and on. But there are also many, many, many dimensions. There's not just five. There are thousands. And in each of these dimensions, there's different realities. And they just go, well, see, there are dimensions around us all the time. We can't see them because they are vibrating at a different frequency and different vibration. It's just the way if you see a propeller blade or a fan blade, when it's moving, it speeds up, it becomes invisible. So they're vibrating at a different frequency.
Well, that's a good point. Now, is it still a physical dimension?
Yes, and there are people living in these dimensions. And this is very real. This is the way the ETs, one of the ways they travel, is they go back and forth between these dimensions.
They somehow learned how to do that, I take it.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing it for a long time. They raise the vibrations and frequencies of the craft. And when they're going out of this dimension, see, they raise the frequency, and then they will suddenly just disappear and be in the other dimension. Kind of like Star Trek, you know, when he says, engage, and they're gone. This is when people see UFOs and they just suddenly disappear. They have gone into the other dimension. And the other opposite is true, too. When they're coming into our dimension, they have to lower the vibration and the frequency. And then they just suddenly appear where there hasn't been anything there before. This is the densest, heaviest planet in the universe, the hardest, most difficult planet to live on. They said, we're like, they can't go any lower, any denser. We are the bottom. And my daughter doesn't like me to say that because it sounds like we're the bottom feeders.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, by the traveling through these other dimensions, must you be in a craft or can you do it in like a portal and kind of like walk through it?
Oh, yes. There are definitely portals and windows. Those are two different things. And they are all over the world. And the ETs especially have found these and are able to utilize them. A portal is where you can go through it and be in another dimension, another time. You can time travel. All of these are used. And some humans have been able to use them. The problem is with humans is the vibration and frequency of the body has to match the frequency of the portal or the body would be destroyed. The matrix would be destroyed. So these ETs have learned how to utilize these, and they travel through time and other dimensions in that way. A window is where you can look through at other dimensions and other times, but you can't travel through it. And these are everywhere. And they're usually protected to keep humans away because they know the effect it would have on humans.
Well,
also humans go to other dimensions constantly and are not even aware of it.
You know, do we do that in a dream state or?
No, physically.
We do.
No, this is how it's very natural. And it's happening all the time and we don't even realize
it. Of course,
it.
I'm sure some people have been in a fog sometimes, Dolores. Maybe that's what's happened to them, huh?
Well, I've gotten lots of emails. You know, I have a weekly radio show, too.
Yes, you do.
And I get all these emails, people telling me remarkable stories of things where they have accidentally gone into other dimensions.
At what point did these stories start arriving to you and you started saying, you know, there's something going on here?
Well, you know, in my investigations, I guess the listeners are well aware of me now. They know I don't channel. I'm not a psychic.
Right.
All my information comes from my clients and I never know what's going to come out. But I am so curious that I always want to know everything. I hear something I don't understand. I want to know more about it. But I can give you a few examples.
Sure, I'd love to hear
stories.
Okay.
We've gotten. Well, for instance, sometimes it can be something very subtle, and you don't even realize you've crossed over in another dimension and came back. I had a college girl said she was coming out of her dorm, and there was a lot of construction work going on right in the street in front of the dormitory. And, you know, the orange cones up and the construction equipment, they were tearing up the street. Okay, the next morning she comes out of her dormitory, there's no sign of anything has ever been done. These are little things we'll say, well, maybe it was my imagination. Or they'll see a tree in one place, the next time they go by, that tree's not there. These are little things that we just don't really notice until it's it draws our attention.
But it's pretty similar, so that confuses them, I take it.
Yeah, and they said, well, it must be my imagination. I had one person who came out of the office building where they were working, and they were back in the, 20, 40 years, 50 years ago. The street, the cars, the people were all dressed as though they were in the 1950s and 40s. And they were very confused. They were walking down the street, and they kept saying people weren't even paying attention to them. But then they began to get scared because something wasn't right. So they went back to the office building. When they went back up into it, everything returned to normal. See, sometimes it's very dramatic like that.
Do these other people in these other dimensions see the person who's gone in there?
Well, they said it didn't seem like they were paying any attention to them.
So it sounds like they didn't even see them.
Yeah.
To me.
I had one person that said they were out at the airport watching the jets take off. And the jet would take off and get into the air. Then it would go backwards. Then it would go forwards. Then it would go backwards. And, you know, jets can't do that.
That's right.
Before they suddenly just took off. This happened several times. Then they went out to the street. The cars were doing the same thing. So it's kind of like sometimes you're stuck. That's what I think it is. You're kind of on the perimeter of the dimensions, and it hasn't quite solidified. But I've had many, many stories of strange things like that. One woman said she was out jogging, and she was walking, running down the street, and she saw this airplane coming in so low to the ground, and it was a big airliner, so low to the ground that she said, oh, it's going to crash. She could see the tail and the wings and everything. She turned around and ran back to the house to turn on the news because she thought surely there was a crash. Well, when we had our session, this is one of the things she wanted to find out about. What was that all about? So during the session, we found they said in another reality, another dimension, there was an airport over there. And the plane was just coming in for a landing. So she had temporarily crossed into the dimension where the airport existed, but it didn't exist in our dimension.
How did they get back, Dolores?
They just come back. They said, we're doing this all the time, and we don't even realize it, unless something like that stands out in your imagination.
Have you left? Let's assume I'm talking to you physically.
Yeah.
We're there, right? I'm back in St. Louis, and you're there for a conference or something.
Yeah.
And I somehow stumble into another dimension. Am I still physically in the original dimension talking to you, or am I gone?
Well, that's complicated because they've told me sometimes, and I don't understand how, that I have disappeared from crowds of people when I'm in other countries. And according to me, I didn't realize there was any difference. But let me tell you a strange one that it deals with this program.
All right.
It was back when I was doing Art Bell.
Okay.
Okay. You know, in those days, a lot of times the people didn't like to stay up late, so they had these long playing tapes.
That's right.
And after one of the shows, I got the letter, and there was these three different women. It was in Tennessee, and they always listened to the show. And they said they all had the long playing tapes going all night because they didn't want to stay up late. The next morning, the one woman turned it on to listen to the show, and the show wasn't on. It was a sports game instead. But she knew it was the same
same station. Yeah.
Because they kept giving the call letters of the station. The other woman, same thing happened to her, and they called the station, and they said, no, we're not carrying Art Bell anymore, and we don't intend to anymore. We don't broadcasting that. They called the third one. She had the show. And it was the same station. One got it, and the others didn't.
So in another dimension, they had the show, and another they didn't.
Yeah, because they said, we've got we can prove it to you. We can bring you the tapes. And it was about a couple of weeks later, I was giving a lecture in Tennessee. They all showed up. And they said, we had to come and tell you this really happened.
That's a
great story. And they were
older
women. There was no reason for them to lie. And they said, we have the tapes to prove the show just did not exist for those two women.
I hope now in all dimensions, Dolores, we exist.
I
and
hope
we're there.
It is broadcasting everywhere.
Everywhere. Well,
that's what I mean. The strange things that happen, and we chalk it up to, well, that's weird, you know?
You know, we talk a lot about shadow people. I'm always convinced that they've come from another dimension, and they may or may not know that they're here in ours. Is that possible?
Yes, I've had many cases with my clients. One said she remembered waking up in the middle of the night, and she could have sworn that her father and her brother were arguing right in the front room. She could hear them loud and clear, but they couldn't have been there. They was in their own house. And when we asked about that, they said she had slipped into another dimension where that was happening. This is what people don't realize. We are existing in many, many places at the same time.
Is this something we should be afraid of, Dolores?
It's natural. There's no way you can stop it. It's a natural phenomenon. What are you going to do about it? We're just finding out because I think now we're more curious. We want to know answers, or before we just brush it off as, well, that's unusual.
Well, you know, scientists are beginning to learn a little more about dark matter, dark energy.
Yeah.
Who's to say that this isn't all tied together?
It is all tied together. All of it is. But I know people have these strange experiences, but they just because they remember it. Otherwise, well, I'll give you a weird example. They said, you know how sometimes you'll walk into a room and you stop for a minute, you forget what you went in there to get.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you go back and then you remember.
And you remember go back in again.
Yeah, you go back and find whatever it was you were looking for. And they said in that fraction of a second, you have gone into another dimension and come back.
Interesting.
So how can you stop something like that?
Interesting. Dolores, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. Our special guest tonight here on Coast to Coast AM is Dolores Cannon. Her websites, of course, are linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And we're talking about her latest book. This is book 4 of her convoluted universe theory. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what she calls 3 waves of people. We'll get her to explain that. Lots to talk with her about. Dolores Cannon, of course, wrote a book a long time ago called Conversations with Nostradamus. That's how I got to know her. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, take a peek at our television show, Beyond Belief. I think you'll like it. Where do you find it? Well, you can look at it. 10 days free, along with all the videos. Go to coasttocoastam.com. Click, if you would, hosts. And then you will find the TV icon right under there when that opens up. Or go to GaiamTV.com/George, GaiamTV.com/George. Back in a moment, more with Dolores Cannon on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. So we'll take your calls a little bit later on with Dolores Cannon. Notice that the phone lines are almost all packed already, Dolores, and we're not even ready to take calls with you. You have talked about, in Convoluted Universe, 3 waves of people you call volunteers. Explain that.
Okay, that's the whole book I wrote on that. It was too much to put in Convoluted 4. The book is called The 3 Waves of Volunteers in the New Earth. Well, I don't want to go into too much detail because it's a long story.
Give me the highlights.
But you know, of my other work, that I've found that the ETs are the ones who created life on Earth. And they've been watching over us since the beginning of time.
Okay.
And when life was created on Earth, they just did every step of it all the way. And when life was created, they said, let's give this beautiful planet a creature with free will and see what he does with it. And then they also said, we're the only planet in the universe that has free will. I've had a lot of my subjects go to other planets in a past lives where there is no free will. And believe me, they couldn't wait to get out of there. It's not as good as you think it is. But we were given free will to see what we were going to do with it. But also, there was another directive. It's the Prime Directive. And it's mentioned in Star Trek, and Star Trek is not fiction, it's real. And that is the Prime Directive of non-interference, meaning when you create a civilization, you cannot interfere with the development of that civilization. They just have to watch. That's why many of the ETs are called the Watchers. They've been watching us from the beginning of time and just shaking their head, you know, what are these silly kids doing now?
Yet some people have said, Dolores, if, for example, somebody launched a nuke, they'd get involved. They'd do something.
Yes,
you know, they've been seen around size.
That's what I'm leading up to.
Okay, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, because the only time they can interfere, if we get to the point where we're going to blow up the planet, they cannot allow that because it would have reverberations throughout the galaxy. So it cannot be allowed. It would disturb everything and other civilizations and other dimensions. So if that ever got to that point, it would have to be stopped. Now, there's been many, many other civilizations down through time where they have had to stop it. The last one, of course, was Atlantis, but there were many other civilizations before that. When it got to the point they were going to destroy the world, they had to be stopped. But it takes too long to build a civilization up again. So they don't want to do it now. We've come so far. So everything was going along until the end of World War II when we dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. Then they said, we better get down there and find out what these kids are playing with. And when they saw it, they said they knew we couldn't handle it because we were not supposed to have atomic energy yet. It was not supposed to be given to the Earth until it could be used for good. And I said, well, it is used for good. And they said, no, because it was created as a weapon.
That's true.
It will always have that aura of negativity around it. So it would never really be used for its full potential. So they knew that we couldn't handle it. The ones who have been on Earth forever, you know, going through all these lives, were all caught on the wheel of karma, coming back, you know, repaying karma, and were stuck. And they said, these humans can't even take care of their own lives. How are they going to be able to handle something this big? They will end up destroying the world. So they didn't know what to do. They can't just come in and say, stop it. That's interference. So there are councils over everything. And there's rules and regulations that govern everything. So everything is really in order out there, whether you think it is or not. So they went back to the council and they said, what are we going to do? We can't interfere. And they came up with a plan that I think is absolutely brilliant.
Okay, what is that?
They said, we can't interfere from the outside, but what if we influence from the inside? What if we put out a call for volunteers, pure souls who have never been to Earth, who have never been contaminated with karma, who are fresh and pure? What if we ask those kinds of souls to come in and bring the energy necessary to help the Earth?
To bring a little change.
Yeah, because they knew we were going into the new Earth when everything is going to be different if we didn't blow ourselves up. So they said, let's ask for volunteers to come. Then we aren't interfering. They are agreeing to come and help the Earth in the time needed. So they put out the call. Now, this theory came about through many years of my work. It didn't happen just through one person. I began to see more and more clients who were telling me the same story. And, you know, if you get the same information from a lot of people, it's got to have validity.
Well, something's going on. Now,
they can't all make these stories up.
Were these humans that had these pure souls or,
yes.
or okay. Right.
Because you know, none of these people know this consciously. It's never on a conscious level because when you come into the earth body, you forget. You forget your plan.
Right.
You forget your contracts. You forget all of it.
You're a human. That's it.
Yeah, you're a human. You're here to have a human experience. So they came in, and they don't really know why they don't want to be here, why they don't like it here, why they don't fit in. But I began getting the story again and again and again. I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. Why are people so mean to each other? Why is there so much violence? And it's the same thing over and over, and I was hearing it again and again. I want to go home. I don't know where home is. I just know it's not here. Now, you hear that from hundreds of people. You begin to put it together. And I put together the theory of the three waves based on the ages of these people that were telling me the same stories. And when I took them back to past lives, they didn't go back to the normal past life. And I'm still getting them. I just had a client yesterday. The same thing is continuing to happen.
Now, when you talk about the waves and their ages, so
yeah.
A certain, like a wave one would be what?
Well, you remember, you know, right at the end of World War II is when there was suddenly this big UFO flap.
Right.
That's because they came in to find out what was going on. Then we had the baby boomer generation. Right at the end of the war.
Sure. I'm one of them.
Yeah, this is the first wave. Now, not all of them, but you know, but some of them, the majority of the ones have come in because that was the age that they were coming in right after the war. And so that would make them now, in even in their early 60s.
Sure.
And I've been working with this since the 1980s, so I've seen them gradually age. So the first wave, I think, goes like that, maybe early, late 40s, 50s, and 60s, that age group.
Okay. And that first wave, anything special about them?
Well, they had the hardest time of all. And I asked them one time, why did they have it harder than the second wave? They said, because somebody has to be the first, the trailblazer, the pioneer, to set the way. That's why it was so difficult. The ones that came after had it easier, but they're the ones that had the hardest time wanting to be here. They didn't like it. They don't like the violence. One thing about these waves is that if strong emotions frighten them, they can't handle it. Now, this can be fear, hate, anger, even strong love. They don't know how to handle it because they don't have the background that the normal person born on Earth has through many lifetimes. So they can't handle strong emotions. They don't. Sometimes they don't get married because they just can't be around other people, and they don't want to have children because children tie you to the earth. And when these souls come in, they come in with like a coating or a covering over their soul, so they will not accumulate karma. So they just want to do their job and get out of here. But many of these, the first wave especially, don't want to be here. They keep saying they want to go home. And many of the first wave have tried to commit suicide to get out.
Gosh, was it that frustrating for them, Dolores?
Oh, yeah. They have good families. They got good jobs. They just don't want, like it here. They don't know, what am I doing here? I don't belong. I don't understand my family. I don't understand this world. And, you know, you hear it again and again. They think they're the only ones out there that feel this way. But since I've been talking about this and the book has come out, I hear this all over the world, and I get emails where people saying, finally, somebody understands. I thought I was the only one in the world that felt that way. Now I'm finding out there's hundreds and hundreds of people feel the same way.
So that's the first wave. What's the second wave?
Okay, but anyway, whenever I'm doing the sessions with them, and I ask them, well, if you didn't like it here, why did you come? They said, I volunteered. They all say I volunteered.
That's right. Say, none of them were forced.
Yeah, they said they heard the call. Earth is in trouble. Who wants to go and help the Earth? And one of them said, I stupidly raised my hand. I said, God, here, what was I thinking?
I'd probably do that, too. Interesting mission.
Because they really wanted to help the Earth. And this is what helps them. When they find out they are here for a purpose, even though they don't want to be here, it makes a huge difference in their life.
And are they unconsciously helping the Earth?
They are, and that's what makes a difference when they find out they do have a mission, they have a job, then they can understand it and relax.
Could they be the ones that open the door for another person, little things like that?
But what it is, especially the second wave, the second wave would be, I don't know, 20s, 30s, 40s, that age group.
Okay.
Some of these overlap, so it's hard to be distinctive about all the ages. Those are people, the second wave, I call them antennas, generators, receivers, because all they are is a channel of energy. And the energy comes in, they have this wonderful energy that everybody can feel. They don't even know they're sending it out. These are the kind of people who can walk through a crowded mall of people or a store or something, and their energy will affect everybody they come into contact. And it's done in a very positive way. They don't know they're doing it, but that's their purpose. They will ask me, well, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And they're told you don't have to do anything. You just have to be. You're generating this energy that is helping the world. And the thing is, they're supposed to be with people and helping people, but they don't like people. They don't like to be around them. So many of these second wave, especially, work out of their homes. They don't usually get married. They just don't want to be around people.
Interesting.
Because it bothers them.
And these traits are all pretty similar, aren't they?
They what?
These traits of these people, they're all pretty similar.
Oh, yeah, and that's what the people, when I'm giving lectures, they start crying. They come up to me afterwards, and they said, you don't know what it means to find out I'm not different. This makes so much sense. And, but one thing about these people, I want to make find out too. Well, see, many of them come direct from God who have never been in any kind of a body before. They just never wanted to.
These are brand new souls.
Brand new. Can you imagine what that would be like to come into this mess we have on Earth with no preparation? They don't know what's going on. It's very difficult to exist here. The other place they come from, there were ETs on spacecraft, on other planets, other dimensions. Some of them had even evolved as far as being a light being. Now, they were perfectly happy with their own life. But then they said, well, who wants to volunteer? And they said, okay, I'll do it. Then when I get done, I'm going to go back to my spaceship or my other planet. They just said they'll come in long enough to help the Earth during this time of need that we're in right now. But something interesting about this is why it puts a new slant on the UFOs, is that the energy, you can imagine, is so different from the ET energy of that being from the Earth body. So in order for them to be born on Earth, the soul has to be prepared, and especially the mother's energy has to be prepared, so they can carry that energy of that new soul. Now, many times the mother will have as many as 3 miscarriages because the energy just doesn't match until they can make adjustments. And the ETs are what do this. They make adjustments to the mother and to the incoming soul so it can survive here. And they said, now some of this sounds strange, but they said in these cases, all of the incoming soul doesn't come in at one time. It's too much energy. So it comes in little by little, and the child may be as old as 8 years old before the entire soul is into the body.
Interesting.
Where it can handle it. And I have a lot of people who tell me, I wasn't here really until I was 8 years old, and they don't understand what that means. But can you see the difference?
So they really weren't complete at that point.
Yeah, they weren't all there. And you can see how the mother's energy would be so different. And many of them have told me that. My mother had many miscarriages before I finally came in
And these are totally 100% human beings. They're not hybrids, right? They're not ET mixes.
They're just living in a human body.
Okay.
But they have, many of us have also lived in other lives and other planets. I don't find that unusual at all. They're just another vehicle. I call the costume a body of a suit of clothes you wear to live a life.
How do we know if we're volunteers? Do you have to do it through regression?
Well, that's about the only way to find out, except some people tell me I remember volunteering. But I know, but I gave this lecture at one place. I gave the lecture, and they said, how can you tell who in the audience is ETs? And everybody started laughing, and I said, how can I tell you? They don't even know themselves.
That's right.
Because, see, it's, you forget when you come in.
And they don't possess any special mystical powers. They can't levitate. They can't do things like that.
No. They're just living a life that they're wondering what in the world they're doing here.
But they're a little more spiritual than most.
I think they are, because some of them have found out they have psychic abilities, and if they develop that, because sometimes in children you tend to squish that, you know. But many of them are psychic. They have spiritual qualities. A lot of them want to be healers. That's an interesting trait about them. They all want to help each other. They want to help the world.
They want to help the world. Well, that's why they're here.
And they're very good people. But now can you understand what the abductions are all about? These are their own people that they're taking care of.
These are the volunteers that they're abducting.
Yes. They check on them. They have to check on them regularly to make sure that the body is accepting the energy, that they're not having any problems.
That makes sense. In the third wave, I assume, a much younger age.
That's the new kids.
That's the new ones. Okay.
And those are the ones that are the hope of the world. And they're coming in with the DNA already in place, because all of our DNA is being changed now anyway.
How many of them are we talking about worldwide, Dolores? Hundreds? Millions? What?
Oh, they said hundreds of thousands. They said now we have finally have the critical mass. We have tipped the scale. Now we can save the Earth.
So what happens if you get one of these, I'll call them enlightened volunteers. What happens if you get one of them in political office? They become senators or presidents.
The best thing that could possibly happen.
I would guess they would change things dramatically, wouldn't they?
You would. But can you see now why the abductions are occurring? And people, the other investigators, don't get their subjects deep enough to find out these things. They keep them in the light level of trance where they're not getting the whole story. I work in the deepest possible level of trance where the conscious mind cannot interfere. So the other ones are getting the emotion, the distorted memories that are not the real memories of the event, because they're coming through the conscious mind filter. But if I get them into the deepest level, these stories come out. And the ETs are just taking care of their own people. That's why they have the implants are there to monitor them so they'll know where they are and they can be there to help them at any time.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Dolores. We're coming right back on Coast to Coast AM with Dolores Cannon as we talk fascinating discussion with her. We'll take her calls a little bit later on tonight. Her website's again, DoloresCannon.com. Ozark MT, like mountain, ozarkmt.com. They're all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com.